This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, we thank you for making some time for us today here on WGR. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. Zach Jones alongside, as always. We are streaming on YouTube and the Twitch as well. Our boy G monitoring the chat room there. I haven't had time to dip into the chat today. There's a lot of balls in the air over here today. Still some news being made. Brandon Carlo to Toronto, looks like. But welcome to seller mode, Boston Bruins. They're only 2 points out of a playoff spot, 3 points out of a playoff spot. Marchand to Florida, Carlo's gone. I mean, their Coyle's gone. They did get Casey Mittelstadt. Anyway, joining us now on the West Hur Hotline, and we definitely appreciate your flexibility here, Chad, although I think this was the time we originally set you up for, but with all the uncertainty about when Adams is going to talk and when they're done and all the trades are finalized, we didn't know for sure what would be happening. Anyway, Chad Dietemenesis, expected Buffalo, excellent Sabres site out there on the World Wide Web. Chad, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad your voice is back. I saw you were struggling during the week, and I was worried you weren't going to be able to make it and be available for me today.
I'm good. I battled strep throat last week, but I'm good now.
So your takeaways here, like I've laid out a lot of what I had to say the first hour. I'd love to hear what you think of this trade. I'm kind of stunned they were able to make this level of trade with Cousins.
Yeah, seemingly, and it's that it came out of nowhere too, in an in-division trade, which you don't see very often, especially when this type of deal, this magnitude. I don't think I'm surprised that he was moved. I mean, we've heard his name out there. He almost went to Detroit a couple of months ago, and that would have been another in-division move. He was part of conversations around Elias Pettersson. So I think for a while now, the organization, you know, has kind of accepted it's not going to work here, and they've looked for a landing spot for him, and they found it in seemingly what they did today, essentially a swap for, you know, the similar thing on the Ottawa Senators side, and then you get a defenseman out of it too. So, I think I'm a little bit surprised that it did get done today. It sounded more like that cooled off a little bit, but, you know, this time of the year, it takes, you know, a phone call and you're back going again and something really gets going, and that seems like what happened today.
What do you think of Josh Norris? I mean, the health concern has to be the lead. Three surgeries on the same shoulder over a pretty short span of time is a red flag, no doubt. But this is a player that's been really productive when he is on the ice.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing, right? Is as long as he can stay healthy, I think that you're going to get a decent player. You know, like I said, you're taking the Senators' version of Dylan Cousins with maybe playing a little bit better than Cousins is right now. But some of like the numbers behind him, you know, his production from a goal scoring standpoint is better than what Cousins was putting up the last 2 years. At 5-on-5 and definitely on the power play, he's more of a lethal threat in the power play, not only from a scoring aspect, which is his primary skill set, you could say. But there's some playmaking skills that really don't translate at 5-on-5 that do come through on the power play. He's a quick player, skates fast. I think he's a little bit more aggressive on the forecheck. I also think the interesting part here is his defensive game, I believe, is better. The numbers tell you that, and some people I've talked to and a little bit I've watched, and you know, I plan to watch some more tonight and tomorrow of him and Docker. But I think his defensive game, you know, is better. And it's interesting to me because, you know, we've heard a couple coaches here, and I think even some fans, you know, talked about that two-way game with Cousins that was really never there and never really even got close. Where I think here with Norris, you can kind of get more of a defensively responsible centerman. Which by no means, and I put my article I just put out, like I'm not going to try to trick you into telling you some great defensive player, but definitely better than I think what you had in Cousins. And, you know, for a team that needs it, I think that in itself can be an upgrade. And then obviously, like I said, the power play part of it too, I think will be pretty impactful for him.
Yeah, that's why I'm a thumbs up on this with the risk, of course. I mean, the injury risk is undeniable. When you say like it's Ottawa's version of Cousins, it's more his availability. I think if I'm thinking about this from Ottawa's perspective, and I'd love your thoughts on this, Chad. I think it's more like we're chasing a playoff spot. We hope we make the playoffs, and even if Cousins isn't going to produce all around the ice 200 feet like Norris can if he's actually on the ice, at least we know we feel like we can count on Cousins. He'll be there. Like, he's been obviously more durable. He's played a lot more than Norris has, and I would think from their standpoint that's got to be the motivation.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I try to put myself in the shoes of another general manager. You know, a lot of the things around the league, you know, whether they're right or wrong, and you can have that debate a lot of time, is some guys, once they got a Buffalo, you know, find success. And that's right in some instances. And then you have instances like Casey Mittelstadt, who was traded last year, then traded again today. So I think in a sense that's overinflated in some areas. But some general managers are like, well, let me get this guy to Buffalo, put him in my system, and, you know, that'll work. And don't get me wrong, there's offensive upside there with Cousins. You know, it was a few nights ago that we saw that third period. Maybe against Anaheim, I think it was, where you're like, well, there it is. But why do I see it? Right. Once every 2 months, and then that follows up with a couple more games of just putrid play. And I feel like last night, you know, it's funny that he was traded today, because last night I really spent some time watching that Lightning game, just watching Cousins play, just watching him and not the puck, seeing what he did. And I kept coming away from a guy that really seemingly did everything he could to get as far away from the puck as possible. And then when it came near him, he was like, oh, get this thing away from me. So, yeah, I mean, that could be confidence. That could be just burned out. We'll see. There's certainly potential that he can find some of that again. I don't think he'll ever hit that draft pedigree at seventh overall that he had when he was picked. But it wouldn't stun me if he finds a little bit of his game in Ottawa.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
What do you think, talking with Chad Dinamisis here, Expected Buffalo, great Sabres analytics site, and also you're dabbling in some Bandits, I know I've seen as well, Chad.
Yeah.
So awesome site for hockey fans and Sabres fans here in Buffalo. What do you think? You sort of touched on it there. What happened to Cousins? I've been saying in the lead up to the deadline here, you know, recognizing his name has been out there, like you said initially here, really all year long. His name has been out there in the rumor mill, and it took until today for something to happen. He's been the biggest mystery to me, because when he showed up and beat up that dude on the Rangers and scored 30 goals and got the contract, I'm like, oh my God, look at this guy. Like, this is beautiful. I can't wait to watch this guy play for the next 7 years. It's amazing. And then, I mean, just poof. I mean, the one working theory that I don't love, because it just could be coincidental, is like Garnet Hathaway took away his shield of invincibility or something when he caved his face in early last season. What do you think happened to Cousins along the way here?
Yeah, the whole thing with the Hathaway part that people forget is the whole reason that Cousins got in that fight is because how poorly he was playing leading up to that. So it wasn't just Hathaway. He was struggling before going into that. Where maybe, you know, I'm not saying Hathaway didn't play a part of it. You know, you kind of, you were a guy who liked to drop the gloves and then got a lesson, you could say. And really, he hasn't done that since then, except with Kotkaniemi a couple nights ago, and that didn't go well either for him. But I think overall here, you have a player that one of two things, I think, is thrives on confidence, and that is definitely shot the last 2 years. And then I think you have a player that really, you know, maybe doesn't see the ice that well. And, you know, as guys get older, as they get more in this league, and you hear from a football perspective too, from a quarterback, the game slows down for you. You know, you start to see things better, you know, you feel like you can move better, you're more comfortable, the speed doesn't really get you. Where I feel like for Dylan Cousins, the game is almost getting faster for him. He's so many times he's just standing there, just standing around, like he doesn't know where to go, he doesn't know what to do. I think the puck is going to go over there, but what if it goes over? And he's frozen, trying to make a decision of which way he should go, and not following the system. At that point, he's out of position, he's chasing, or his guy put the puck in the net, or you know, he comes down the ice, he's going super fast, and it's kind of Luis Mendoza. I'm going fast. Uh oh, there's four guys in front of me. Now what? And it's a turnover, fall down, bad pass. So yeah, I think that is the thing, is he always plays the game so quickly. And I think the game isn't slowing down for him, and that's what his struggle is. And maybe he needs a new coach that'll try to slow that game down for him. Maybe just a new atmosphere, a new jersey you're putting on could change things for you. But I really think that's it. I just think he's just not seeing the game well enough. And he's reacting too slowly, and he's making mistakes. He's forcing things on top of the frustration. It's just a lot of stuff that mounted up bad for him. And really, not only for the Sabres, I mean, this is, you know, like I said a few times now, a good thing for Cousins in his career. So I think both sides, you know, really needed this.
Yeah, for sure. Chad DeDominicis, expected Buffalo on the Western Hotline. We're awaiting Kevin Adams addressing a handful of reporters who are going to be on site in Florida, where Kevin Adams traveled with the Sabres to last night's game in Tampa and then tomorrow's game in Sunrise. And we should be hooked up to bring that live to you whenever it starts. So, Chad, if we abruptly have to bail out, I think you know how that works. Have to do that. If not, we'll just see this all the way through as we're just waiting. I'm sure they're waiting to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed on everything they've done today before Adams sits down to talk. How about the rest of it? And even the other moves that have been made here. I mean, Joki Haru's kind of a paint-by-numbers move. We don't even know what the return is, and I'm not that worried about it, honestly. Branstrom is a late move here from the Rangers for Nicholas Aubé-Kubel. That's a depth piece, too, I feel like. What about the player from Ottawa, Jacob Bernard Docker?
Yeah, he's
depth too, probably.
I think he's likely going to get a run with power here just to see. 24-year-old defenseman. There is not much there offensively on the upside part. It's not really what they need anyways. There is a little bit defensively, but I think your best-case scenario probably is a third-pair defenseman. I don't have any issue for 20 games when you're in last place in the East running him with power in your top four and just seeing – maybe you fall into something. But, you know, it's a guy that is a restricted free agent, an arbitration restricted free agent at the end of the season, that you can kind of, I guess, give a test run for a couple games, or at least a quarter of a season, see how that goes for you if you want to keep him, or, you know, maybe you can just non-qualify him and be on your way. That'd be unfortunate to give up Gilbert in a second to do that, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm not worried about either of those pieces at the end of the day, to be honest. So the micro stats in the you know, on-ice models, numbers for him are not pretty. I'm not going to lie to anybody. But, you know, maybe they see something there. Maybe there's something in the private models that gives them some belief from a depth defenseman standpoint that they can bring him in and utilize him. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I'm not overly excited about anything we're going to get there. I'd love to be surprised, but You know, that's kind of where I stand right now on him.
I hope you can appreciate this. The scary thing about him being a surprisingly good fit with Power would be the Sabres overreacting to that, maybe the way they did when Samuelson got alongside Dahlin. Because I feel like that got Samuelson that contract, and he just has not ever really been that guy again, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I don't think there'll be enough of a runway to do that, or even for him to – I mean, like, even if they resign him, that's like a $1 or $2 million guy you're getting. So I don't think you're going to anything crazy on that one. But, yeah, I think they're kind of desperate to find something that works there, because anything they try just does not work there. Because as we've seen the last few nights, Bowen Byram away from Rasmus is kind of a disaster. they need to – they're trying something, and we'll see if it works.
Chad, full disclosure, a couple of weeks ago, Paul and I got into it about Byram and him with Dahlin and Power and this and that, and I sort of pushed back on Paul. And then fast forward, one of the games recently, maybe the Anaheim game, Dahlin and Byram were a part of that. I think you mentioned it. Like, Cousins was a part of that too. Like, they just had a couple of shifts where it was just – they're just dancing. And I mentioned how Byram was a part of that. And Mike, we're going to a break, and Mike just very quickly said he's lucky to be on the ice with Dahlin. And I didn't have time to push back on it. And then days went by, and I swear since then, because I actually left work that day thinking, next time I got to push him on that, because I think together they look really good. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I don't think Byram has made a good play since then. Like, it's been like 2 weeks, and it's just, oh my gosh, everything he seems to do is a disaster, and a lot of it, I guess, has been without Dahlin. I'm going a long way and saying a lot of words. What do you think about Byram moving forward here?
Yeah, there's definitely concern about paying him the kind of money he would likely get. If he wants to do short-term, I could get with that. Anything long term, I gives me some scaries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'd be a terrible idea to see what his value is, and I think they've done that in some regard, seeing what's out there, what the interest is, and they can kind of pick those talks back up in the summer. But yeah, I mean, really, a lot of the conversation, you know, comes down to, you talked about the Power versus Byram thing. You know, it's seemingly, you would think, it's one or the other. They're probably not going to, I mean, they could if they wanted to keep both, but it's probably logically one or the other. And my fight the entire time is, like, put Owen Power with Dahlin and put Byram on his own, and what does the conversation look like now? I mean, we're getting a glimpse of it, basically.
Right.
Power, at least while he's having a tough season, and I get that, and, you know, some of the defensive game isn't great, he can at least be salvageable, where Byram away from Dahlin just looks like a mess. And that's not great, and that's not something you want to pay a lot of money to. Unless you are committed as an organization that this guy is just going to be stapled next to Dahlin and never, ever move, no matter who our coach is, the directive is you don't move him away from there. But, I mean, that's just, again, it doesn't seem like that's something you could really do. So I would try to look to see what your possibility is in terms of types of a return in the offseason. You know, a restricted free agent, I think he's arbitration eligible too, so that kind of adds some intrigue to that, but I would definitely be more in favor than moving than handing him a long-term contract at this point.
Couple of more minutes with Chad DeDominicis from Expected Buffalo here on WGR. We're expecting Sabre General Manager Kevin Adams at any point here to begin addressing a group of reporters who are with the Sabres in Florida. Our Paul Hamilton is amongst them, so we will carry that for you when we get there. I think I'm an hour and a half almost into this afternoon, Chad, and I haven't even mentioned the Zucker contract extension. They got that done today and didn't have to give him a raise. They had to give Greenway a little bit of a raise from what he was currently making, but Zucker gets a second year, but under the $5 million, which he came here on for 1 year. How about both the Zucker and Greenway extensions from your standpoint, Chad?
Yeah, we'll start with Zucker. And I mean, I didn't really have a lot of time to grasp it because I was chasing Cousins stuff this morning when that happened. Shocked. I can't recall I've seen an agent be okay with a player signing a pay cut to stay with the team, and he's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent on a career year. Pretty wild to me, but that might give you a sense of how badly he wanted to stay here. And that, I think, on a positive spin, is a good thing for the Sabres to have a veteran who's willing to take less to stay in your organization for a team that's had so many struggles. So I think that's good there. I think he rightfully fits in as a third-line winger for your team, and that's where he's going to be for the next 2 years. Full marks to Adams on that one. Greenway, you know, that's the one where I think you may be a little bit overpaid, but again, you know, it's $4 million on a cap. It's going to go to $95 million. It's nothing that I'm going to cry or whine about for 2 years. If things don't work, that's definitely a movable contract in a year if you wanted to do that. So he's a player I think that fits your system. He's a player I think that fits here. He's a different type of style of player than your roster currently has right now. And he's kind of on the similar ilk of Norris, though. You got to get him to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like, if he's only going to give you 50 to 60 games, like, that's going to be kind of rough to deal with that. But when he does play, he's an impactful player, and he's helped them. So if he can give you, I said 70, give me 70,
right.
You know, I think I'll be happy at the end of the day with what he gives them from defensively, penalty killing, and then pitching in here or there offensively.
It's funny. I said the same number about Norris, too. Like, he's never played more than, I think, 66 games is his career high when he had the 35-goal season. So, like, get me to 70, and I think I'm going to take that as a win, even though it means I'm missing, you know, a couple of weeks of the season somewhere. Yeah, I was not dying to have either guy moved just for picks, because that's what UFA guys usually end up doing. And I think the point you made there about them both wanting to be here and be a part of it, considering where the organization has been, palm trees and taxes and all that stuff, I think that's a win. I think Zucker, I would think, would have had a market out there with the way guys have been getting moved. I think I saw you tweet yesterday that if the Sabres retain money, they could even maybe get a first for Zucker if they played it right. So I think that he wanted to stay and be a part of it speaks well of what has often looked like a very dysfunctional situation.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the Zucker trade thing is, for me, I started to hear a little bit about a trade extension the last few days. And for me, I think the standout that he wasn't really getting moved, or I guess the flag, was that really he was never in trade conversations. You never heard insiders bring his name up, and there was even trade boards he wasn't even on. So I think that itself was kind of giving you a really firm idea that they wanted to keep him, he wanted to stay here. And they work towards it, and you know, got it done to the point it is, where I think it's, you know, it works for both sides.
All right, if we covered everything, Joakim Harju got traded. I don't know, is that anything to say about his tenure as a Saber?
No, not really. You know, it is what it is. I'm surprised they brought him back for this year. Even I'm dying to know what the return is, because this is, you know, we're almost at 4:30 here, and we still have no idea.
Right.
But it seems like there's a lot kind of in the queue, so we'll find out. I'm anticipating maybe picks. I don't know. Maybe it's a type of Kubel thing where you just get some random depth guy back. But, you know, we'll see. They've been trying to move him for a little bit here, get him a new opportunity as he has an unrestricted free agency. But, we'll always have that Finland Four Nations performance.
Yes, we will. All right, Chad, thanks a lot for this. Thanks again for your flexibility and being able to work with us on a pretty hairy day here, man. We appreciate it, and best of luck. If you want to give us the info and the intel on where folks can find your stuff.
Yeah, not a problem. So expectedbuffalo.com is our site. You know, we cover the Sabres. We're analytics focused, you could say. So we're some number guys over there. Expected Buffalo, the podcast, is our podcast that we have. And then, like Chris said, too, we do have Eddie, who covers the Bandits and the rest of the NLL on our side. So if you're a lacrosse person, too, we have some pretty good lacrosse coverage there for you that can fill that need.
Thanks again, Chad. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks. Have a good day.
All right. You too. That is Chad Dietemanisis. Expected Buffalo is the site. We're still waiting on Kevin Adams. We'll hit up a timeout here. Might be room for your calls on the other side of this break. Who knows? These things sometimes do drag out. 803-0550. Want to react to anything you heard from Chad or myself in the first 90 minutes of the show today? Please do have at it. 803-0550. Sabres unload Dylan Cousins along with Dennis Gilbert in a second-round pick for Josh Norris from the Ottawa Senators, along with what is expected to be a depth defenseman, Jacob Bernard Docker. A couple of other minor moves, too. We'll fill y'all in as we go here, but waiting on Kevin Adams and then Paul Hamilton eventually with his reaction to all of this news. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is away today. You're listening to WGR. All right, we are going live now to Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams in Florida.
Especially at this time of year, you know, the hockey trades. And, you know, I think from my perspective, made it very clear to the league that we were open for business and we were very diligent in the way we were going about this, meaning we wanted to improve our hockey team. And there were certainly a lot of opportunities to do futures and prospect picks for different types of deals, multipliers, and it's just for my thought process on this was, how can we improve our team? And I think today was a good day.
Do you think it was just a case where the standings are, you had to make a major shift with a piece of your core?
Yeah, you know, I think, Mike, you evaluate that as you go and you say, okay, like, what's working, what's not working, and you can't be afraid of making changes. You can't be afraid of making big trades. And I'd be lying if I didn't say part of the reason they were really open to a big trade is how the season's gone. But these are hard trades to make. We trade out good players, and you know we're excited about the return, but these are hard days. But at the end of the day, when I kind of get to this point, I'm talking to you guys, I feel like we accomplished our goal coming into the trade deadline period of, you know, making our team better.
2 years ago, you signed Dylan to that contract. You probably never imagined getting to this point. Like, when did you kind of have an idea that you'd be willing to listen on him in particular, and what led you to that point?
Well, I think I have a lot of respect for Dylan Cousins. I'll start there. And I believe that Dylan is going to be a very good player in the National Hockey League for a long time. And when I look at our group, what I started to think a lot about, and I talked to the coaches and the management staff, is how do you change the dynamic of the team and where do you start? And it felt like Dylan is a very good number two center in the National Hockey League, and if you're going to make a big move, the conversations were kind of starting there. And he was not someone, I want to be clear, that we were looking to move or we were just going to just trade. It was going to have to be a hockey trade that we felt made our team better, and that was the intention on him and certainly other players and core pieces and that type of thing. But, yeah, that's, I'd say, probably just how we got to today.
What are your impressions of Norris at this point?
Well, I just, you know, obviously a player that I have a very, very high opinion of. I've been watching very closely for a while. He's a 200-foot center, very, very talented, responsible on both sides of the puck. He plays in all situations. I mean, all situations, both special teams, very good face-off guy. You know, you watch him and you scout him, and he's out there 3-on-3, 4-on-4. You know, just a really good hockey player that is a true center that we think is going to be a guy that can come in and give us a boost and make the guys around him better. And that's why we target him.
He was a highly touted guy coming out. Has he just had hard luck? I know he's had a couple of surgeries. Has he just had hard luck in his NHL career?
Yeah, I think that happens sometimes. And, you know, you look at those things and pay attention and try to understand exactly what's going on. And but, yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to make sense of, you know, like the when things happen and then you know, you ask the question like, okay, is there a reason a certain injury happened? And you do your homework, and that's what we did. But we were certainly comfortable that this is a very that he's healthy, and this is a very, very good player with a lot of upside, and also, you know, term on his contract, and someone that can grow with our group.
What was Dylan's reaction, or what was that conversation like for you?
Hardest part of the job. Just be honest with you guys. Emotional for both of us. He's someone that I...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Care about, have a lot of respect for, and basically what I told him was just that. You know, I appreciate you as a person. This is not personal. This is us in a position where I felt I had to make a really hard decision to improve our club. And you know, I gave him a hug and wished him luck, and told him that, you know, just sometimes in life the next chapter you know, turns out can be a great thing. So. But it was hard. It was a really hard day in that respect. And, you know, both for Dylan and, you know, the players coming our way, you build relationships and, you know, you're part of, you got brothers that you go to battle with every day. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot of emotion on days like this. And that's why I said it's, you know, it's the toughest part of the job.
Did you get the impression with him that he always wanted to be part of the solution here?
100%. Nothing but respect for Dylan, the way he carried himself. He would be the first one in my office saying, I need to be better, and what do I need to do to help this team? You know, so always looking at himself and internally and wanting more from his own game, which I have a lot of respect for. So he did, and he committed to us long-term at a time, if you go back, where there wasn't much of that going on. And so that meant a lot to me, and it still means a lot to me. But, you know, in this job, you need to make decisions that you think are best and for your team and that are very hard to make. But that's what we did today.
Kevin, you certainly wish you were in a different spot right now. The last press conference 3 months ago, you were on that day, I think, 3 points out of the playoffs. You end up going winless for 13 games in a row. I guess the question I would have about this entire season is, in that 13-game stretch where the season went south, why were no moves made? No minor league call-ups, waivers, trades, nothing happened in a 13-game stretch, and the season was basically over.
Yeah, it's I appreciate the question. You know, it's when you look at it, as you take a step back and say, you know, maybe could we have jolted or done something? Sometimes there's a trade deadline, trades happen, for a reason, because there's a pressure point. You know, there's a deadline. And when we were in the middle of the 13 game, there wasn't a deadline. And there wasn't a pressure point for other teams. And as hard as I was pushing potentially to do stuff that you guys may not know about, you need someone else to partner up with. So what I wasn't going to do was make an emotional or make a decision just to make a trade or to move out a good hockey player because we're losing for futures or, we have had a lot of picks, we have prospects. So that just wasn't what I felt was the right thing to do for our team. But that stretch really, really hurt our season. And it's frustrating, believe me.
Moving forward now, your plan has obviously changed a little bit here. You have a core group of players, which you have had now for 2 or 3 years, and now it looks like, of course, you're not blowing it all up. I know that. But it looks like you might make some moves out of the core or into the core. You just made one now. How are you looking at moving forward now as you try to, get the team? Because you and Lindy both said, and it didn't surprise me when you said it, that the time is now, and it didn't work out that way this year. So now as you move forward, how do you tweak that plan maybe?
Well, I agree. It's a good question, because my job is to look at every single aspect of this organization, on the ice, what surrounds our guys, everything, and say, what do we need to do better? And I need to start with myself. What do I need to do better? And then go through everything. And nothing will be off the table in terms of how we look at things. There's going to be a lot of hard conversations down the stretch. What I believe is we have a lot of good hockey players in our team and talented hockey players, and we haven't performed well enough. And so as we go into, the stretch, we expect our guys to compete and play hard and win hockey games. And then when we get to the offseason, we're going to be looking at every part of this to say, what do we need to do? And if we need to move someone out to upgrade our team and to make our team better, we're going to do that. So nothing for me is off the table. And we'll look at everything, the mix. And sometimes you think something on paper looks like it works, and then maybe it doesn't. So can you change that? And a lot of the trades, and I've probably said this to you guys before, a lot of trades, these trades take a long time, but even trades that didn't happen today, that things that we discussed, you probably pick up again after the season, and these things may end up getting towards the draft, and so that's something that we'll continue to evaluate.
Kevin, you took multiple hits last night as a team from Ray Ferraro on the broadcast, talking about the team essentially being soft in the scrums, and Dylan was in the middle of that. Obviously, the Thompson thing was a flashpoint, another flashpoint of the season, really impacted your team in a negative way in terms of perception. How do you address the idea that this team has just been far too soft in multiple areas?
Yeah, I didn't hear what Ray said. I was obviously at the game live watching, so I can't, comment to that piece in particular. But look, I believe that we need to be harder to play against, and we need to have a better five-man pack mentality. And I guess what I mean by that is there's all sorts of ways to be tough and hard. And, there's certainly the fighting that people see, and that can happen. And I think there's been times this year where guys have stepped up and done that when it's needed to be done. But what I'd like to see of our team, and this is something that has certainly been discussed and addressed and will continue to be a conversation, is you have to have each other's back at all times in this sport. And when you are out there and if something happens, you need to be there for each other and you need to be together. And that's the team tough, the pack mentality I'm talking about. And I think sometimes when in a team sport, when everybody's kind of in it together and shoulder to shoulder, it makes everybody a little taller and a little stronger, and that's what we need to get to. We're not there. It hasn't been good enough, and it's something that it's certainly going to be something that we think more about, address, talk about, and Lindy and I have certainly talked a lot about that.
Dennis Gilbert was the guy who would do that. Is this a trade that Ottawa maybe said, look, we want him? Because I know Dennis is one of the guys that would do that for you.
I love Gibby. He did everything he was asked here, and there was a reason that Otto wanted him. I can't say enough good things about Gibby, and he's all about the town of Buffalo too. So that wasn't an easy part of this trade, moving a guy like him. But yeah, and it's he's not here, and so now we have to make sure that we're all looking in the mirror in the locker room and taking care of each other, and that's something that we're going to need to be better at.
When you talk about that five-man pack mentality, you know, that's something that obviously kind of needs to come organically. I'm curious your read on just the state of the room right now. Like, a lot of young guys who have endured a lot of losing, and we've seen what that's done to other players in the past in this franchise. Like, what is your read on that? Is there any fear of some of these guys just getting worn out by it?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, honestly, Matt, because it is something I think about, and it's something that I think if you ignore, you could be in trouble. So the question is, if you think about it like that, then what do you do about it? What you do about it, for me, is you have conversations, and then you make sure you, when you have guys like Jordan Greenway and Jason Zucker that want to be Buffalo Sabres and that are tremendous pros on and off the ice, and they understand what you're talking about, you got to keep those guys. And which we were, you know, fortunately it wasn't easy. We were able to do, and good on them to want to be here. And I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you have to actually talk about it. And Jason Zucker has to be able to sit with Jack Quinn and say, you know, here's what I see, and we need to be better in this area, and enough's enough of that. And I'm just using an example, not anything Jack did, but just, you know what I mean? And I think that's the way. What I can tell you is, and I can tell our fans this, I promise our guys care, and it has not gone well this year. But this is not a group of players that doesn't respect the game, doesn't want to be in Buffalo. These guys, we're not where we need to be. And I'm going to do everything in my power to fix it, starting with what I need to do better and look in the mirror first. But I love the town, okay? I love Buffalo. I'm from Buffalo. I know what this place can be and what it means, this organization and franchise mean to the city. And I can speak to that better than almost anyone. And we haven't done a good enough job. And that's something that I take extremely personal. And the thought of anyone ever thinking that I don't love Buffalo and don't love what we can do, that we can do something special here, just, it hurts. So I want to fix it. And I'm going to do everything I can. And it starts with what you talked about, the conversations and the hard things. And we're going
to
do it.
You can go through the parts of your roster, and we know what individual guys need to do better. What do you need to do better?
Me personally? Well, I think so. It's funny because I do self-evaluate and self-reflect quite a bit. And the 13-game winless streak would be a perfect example, Mike. Could I or should I have done something? I think a lot about it. But then on the other flip side, I think, but there's sometimes a short-term jolt that can maybe not be the best thing long-term. And I beat myself up that did I miss something? You know, so that's probably what I'd say. I can do a better job of really looking at things and saying, you know what, we're doing this today. And then you need a partner, I will say. I wasn't, even during that 13 games, just, you know, hanging out. There was a lot of phone calls and there was a lot of push, but, you know, I also am a big believer, you have to sometimes take a step back and take emotion out of it and make sure you don't make a mistake because you're emotional. So I need to be better in terms of every single part of my job. I haven't been good enough. I haven't put a team on the ice that is capable of being in the playoffs, even though when I look at our talent, and I look at where we are compared to other teams, I think we should be there, be in the fight, and I'm going to fix it.
Is it possible maybe some of these guys got rushed up? And let me use Jiří Kulík as an example. He played over 100 AHL games, and we've seen his development here. As you look at your Rochester now, you still have some good prospects down there who are in first place, by the way. Mm-hmm. Are you careful that, you know what, let them just do it down there. Maybe not rush Devin up here or rush the two Russian defensemen or Hellenius, mm-hmm. or whoever we may be talking about. Do you want to just see them, hey, won't be in a rush to be here. Like Kulik, as I said, it was over 100 AHL games that he played.
I totally agree, and I totally believe in that. And I look at when this started, Peterka and Quinn, you know, they dominated the American Hockey League. So I don't think we rushed anything there in terms of, like, were they ready? But you do know, even after guys have had time in the American League and have performed, when you're young, you're still going to have the dips, and you're going to have just the nature of it as the ups and downs. Are there a couple things that probably, if I had to do over again, what I would have looked at? You know, maybe. But I think, Paul, that when I kind of take a step back, we're in a different phase now. There was a time where you wanted to make sure you're getting guys reps and, you know, trying not to block guys with certain making a mistake, maybe going out and signing a veteran guy at the July 1, you know what I mean, that kind of thing, because I needed our young guys to kind of get there. But if I made some mistakes, for sure. And that's what I talk about when I'm being self-aware and reflect. But I think overall we've done a pretty good job of developing, and I also think we're the state of Rochester. I mean, that's a tremendous hockey team being led by a lot of young kids who are exciting for us, but we're not going to rush them, for sure.
How much work do you think needs to be done to this roster still?
I'd like to think about the mix of our guys, and sometimes what I mean by that is, like, talent is talent, but it doesn't always work together. So, like, what could we find a certain type of partner for Owen Power that fits a little bit better? And see, that's, I'd say, what I'd really want to focus on as we head into, you know, the off season is, like, where could we just take steps? And I think that's what we did today, where Norris is a tremendous 200-foot two-way centerman that makes the players around him better, plays on both special teams. So, like, those are the type of things that we have to be able to assess and be aggressive and go out. And now we gave up a great player to get him, but I just think we're going to have to really keep at that and, you know, as we get into the summer.
How about the defenseman you got back?
Yeah, he. You know, you look at a former first-round pick, 24 years old, right shot D, who's played over 100 NHL games. Like, there's a lot to like, and I think for us it's a good opportunity to get him in and kind of assess where he's at. He obviously coming off an injury and stuff, but a good player.
We've heard reports about maybe Joki Haru or Abe Kubel. Is that anything you can comment on yet, or hasn't the NHL helped you out on that yet?
Abe Kubel, just before I walked in here, the trade call was done. So that is a trade that is done, but I can't comment on the other one. And, you know, you guys have been around a long time and done this right at the deadline. A lot of trades come, so it's in the queue somewhere, but I unfortunately can't comment on it.
How about some thoughts on Zucker? There's a veteran guy who's had a good year who could have said to you, hey, I want to go chase a cup, find me another spot. Now, you paid him, obviously, but just the thought that he wanted to be part of this still.
Can't say enough good things about Jason Zucker from day one. And, you know, like, when you get a guy in, you do your homework in the summer, and you hear things, but you never really know till a guy walks in the door. And he has been a leader, a tremendous pro. He's become someone that Rasmus Dahlin goes to on small decisions, big decisions, as Rasmus learns how to be a captain. You know, the guys in the room respect the career he's had, but the teams he's played on, he's been tremendous. And you know what, I give Jason a lot of credit, because the first conversation he and I had together about, you know, the future was, I believe, in Seattle now, whatever that would have been a few weeks ago. And I challenged him a little bit, like, tell me why you want to be a Saber. And he just said, I've fallen in love with this town and the locker room and these young guys, and I want to see this through. I know how good this team can be, and I want to be part of what could really happen in a special way here and turn this thing. And I just, that means a lot to me. You guys know how I feel. So I think that was a really important signing, and I give him credit, because he would have been a pretty sought-after guy on the open market for sure with the year he's had.
With Rasmus as your captain, we see the frustration he has on the ice, and sometimes it affects his play. You get to sit down with him in a room. Does he have that same frustration when he's talking to you that we see on the ice?
I just had a long sit down with Rasmus a couple days ago for an hour in my office, and you know, you, the fans, you guys maybe not see the different side of him. He's incredibly intelligent and thoughtful in the way he approaches things, and he asks a lot of questions. And what his, he and I talk a lot about is how does he balance, you know, what he does on the ice, off the ice, you know, all those type of things. And I think the frustration that maybe you're referring to is also what makes him elite, because he's so competitive. And I told him, I'll share this with everyone because I think it's important. I told him, you're our biggest minutes guy, generally every night, but you're also one of two and three guys that I would say work the absolute hardest in practice. You guys are in practice, you watch how hard he goes in every drill and competes. And I said, we need 23 of that. You know, like, so we need this mentality of just absolute, you know, competitive, and that's where he's maturing. And I just believe the way he is going to continue to drag more guys into the fight. And I just, man, I respect that about him. And his talent's his talent, but I just think the other stuff is what I think makes him so special.
Where are you at with some of your RFAs? We saw J.J. Paterka's name floated around a lot this week, and, you know, that's obviously a big part of your future, you know, planning and spending for next year.
Yeah, I guess there were a bunch of rumors out there on J.J. I was told by our PR staff, zero truth to anything around J.J. in terms of looking to move him or any of that stuff. I think JJ's a guy that's a young player still. We're going to sit down after the season. We'll get to his agent immediately and say, okay, where do we go from here? But I just think he's one of our core young guys, and we need him to continue to get better, and we need to make sure that we're also explaining to him how we're going to make the team better.
What about Bo? I mean, you already have some high – price defenseman that you have. Bo is going to command quite a bit of money. How do you look at trying to re-sign him?
It goes back to the puzzle that I kind of said, like the fit, right? You know, he's been really good with Rasmus. Now, I think it was it was good. You know, Lindy, they changed the pairs up a little lately. Just, you know, Samuelson, we need to become back to Sammy, you know, the who we know he is, a top four that's hard to play against. And in terms of, you know, Bo, I think he's been really good for us this year. He's competitive. Yeah, we haven't started any conversations with him. You guys know my style. The first conversation I like to have is with the player and say, you know, do you want to be here and why? And, you know, those are the first steps. But I'm certainly a guy that I think is a good Buffalo Sabre, because he loves the game. You know, he's infectious personality, and I think he's had a good, on a personal level, he's one of our players that I think's had a pretty good season.
I mean, there's a lot of variables with the RFAs, but when you look at your projections, the cap's going up, like, do you anticipate having room to make, you know, additions from the outside? Do you anticipate, like, kind of being a cap team?
Yeah, I mean, the way things are headed right now, and even, you know, with today, there was a, you know, we took on obviously cap, you know, in terms of the trades we made and all that stuff, or with Norris, and yeah, I think we're going to be, you know, it's always hard to say because some of the stuff's projections, but the way we kind of look at our cap situation is we're going to be right there. And, you know, I know that's been a little bit of a narrative out there. It's never been something that we weren't able to do. Part of it is when you go through what we've gone through in terms of getting so young and trying to build this back up, you know, you're going to have a lot of entry-level contracts. But what I've also said all along is some of these entry-level contracts jump up pretty quick, and that's kind of what we're projecting on some of that this summer. So I think that we're going to try to do everything we can to make the team better, but yeah, we're going to be right there when it's all said and done, I think, with the cap.
What was Terry's message in Montreal, and what was Terry's message to you in recent weeks about this team going forward?
I want to be careful about Montreal in terms of, you know, I think it was what was said was really impressive, but I think it's better just to the players have that to themselves. But what I think the bigger thing I could share is that the commitment of Terry Pegula. He got on the plane, flew in, met with the team, got on the plane and flew out. You know, it's like us driving to Transit Road. And he did that because he cares, and he didn't have to do that. So I think that sent a pretty strong message to the players, how invested he is. He cares so much. He watches every game. He loves this team. He loves the guys. And over the last few weeks, you know, the message to me has been, you know, what do we need to do to make this team better? Everything we should be thinking about is, you know, we need to improve, and what are those decisions? And Kevin, come up with answers. And that's, you know, part of why we did what we did today, because we think it improved our team.
You say you have uncomfortable talks with players, with coaches. Does he have uncomfortable talks with you too?
Yeah, I mean, what I wouldn't say uncomfortable, I'd say honest. Mm-hmm. You know, Terry and I have a long relationship. You guys know that. I'm very honest with Terry when I'm asked a question, and if I've made a mistake, I tell him I've made a mistake. When I believe I have a solution, I'm going to tell him I have a solution. I certainly am keeping him informed of every possible scenario of what we're going to do, and ultimately, he's empowered me to make the final decision, and that's what I did today. Took in all the information, listened, made sure he was in the loop, and when push came to shove, it's my call. But that's what I love about Terry, because we do have that relationship where there's true honesty, and I accept responsibility for where we are in the standings. It's on me.
What's your sense of just the job Lindy's done? And I know it was a two-year commitment. You know, this time last year you're making a coaching change, and just what do you think of the job he's done and what it looks like going into the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, Lindy'd be the first one to stand up here and say that we didn't expect to be where we are in the standings, and he's disappointed and frustrated. But what I've seen from Lindy is an authentic person that he's got so much experience that he can explain to the players, like, this is the process. And the result's going to take care of itself. And if we don't get the process right, the results are going to be poor. And we're working on that. Like, we haven't played the right way enough this year. Our defensive game is not good enough. We have not kept the pucks out of our net. Our 5-on-5 scoring has been good. Our special teams have to get better. But, you know, like, so this is the stuff that Lindy's able to say. And if I'm assessing, like, I think there's been some really good growth in some certain areas, and I think there's other areas that we need to improve. You know, and Lindy and I, you know, similar to the Terry conversation, Lindy and I have a long relationship and a very honest relationship, and we'll be lockstep here as we finish out the season and then get into the summer. And he'll be part of, okay, what does he think? And, you know, he's certainly not a coach that he just coaches and I just do this. We talk every day about everything and bounce ideas off each other. And I just think that he knows there's a lot more to get out of this group, and that's the next step for us.
Did you send Kulik down before 5 so he could play in the playoffs?
Yeah, and what I said to him was that it's not a slam dunk that we will, but let's have the conversation. Let's at least make sure we're in a position where we're able to if we want. And, you know, so he'll be here with us, and obviously through the rest of the season. I think he's had a really, really good rookie season, but I think it's a conversation. You know, where is he at? And where's the growth opportunity, development opportunity? I mean, like, I want the expectation of our group to be playing into June, you know, and sometimes you have to feel that. And he's done that in the American League. But, you know, part of what we have to do, and this is going to be a message that I'm going to continue to talk to our team about, is we have to raise our own standard. Our personal standard has to be better, and then that'll help the team standard become higher. And he has a high personal standard, even at a really young age. So that's part of what we'll talk about as we get towards the end of the season and, you know, see what we end up doing with Rochester.
New guys available tomorrow? Any of them?
Norris will be supposed to get in late tonight. Unfortunately, JBD is it's immigration. I don't know if you guys know anyone, but maybe you can make a call for me.
Do you got to call a defenseman up then?
What's that?
Do you have to call up a defenseman then?
I think we're at 6 right now. It's been a long, long few weeks here. So I don't think so, but we do have some guys sick. And more than you even know. So it's going to be a little dicey here over the next 24 hours. But potentially. So I think Yeah, I don't know how long the immigration stuff, but definitely not for tomorrow for him.
You expect these two defensemen you added to, you know, be on the NHL roster?
No. Branstrom will report to Rochester, but JVD will be here.
Thank you.
There you go. That is the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres going along with three reporters, our Paul Hamilton, Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, and the Athletic's Matthew Fairburn. Great job, fellas, all of you. We'll take a break and hopefully hook up with Paul and get his thoughts on everything that he just heard in the day that has been the big trade. Dylan Cousins going to Ottawa for centerman Josh Norris. Mike is off today. I'm the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.